Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I was looking for a greeting card the other day, and I did not find it. I know we've all looked for greeting cards sometimes, and you can find all kinds of different greeting cards in the seasons. You can find Christmas cards, you can find Easter cards, you can find Thanksgiving cards. But you know what I didn't find? I didn't find an Ascension Day card. Anybody look for an Ascension Day card? I don't think we even remember that this Thursday was Ascension Day officially. And today we remember Ascension Day, but there are no Ascension Day cards. So it's not really something that we necessarily think about as much. I mean, we know it's Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, and Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, but what's up, pardon the pun, what's up with the Ascension Day? So I know it's bad, Kathy's shaking her head. But as we go forward today in the sermon, I would propose that Ascension Day is a day for us to remember our Lord's ascension. But why is this significant? Well, because of this. Because it changes our perspective from a downward and an inward perspective, a downward and inward perspective, to an upward and outward perspective. You know what it's like to have a downward and inward perspective? I know we've all been there, especially when you turn on the news. That's a great way to get a downward, inward perspective. Sad to say, there's been some tragic stuff happening recently in the news. You heard about the ISIS attack on the Coptic Christians, where about 28 people were killed. Tragic. And then the Ariana Grande concert in the stadium, where young people, oh my goodness, people of all ages, but especially young people, 22 killed and 119 wounded. That's a real downer, isn't it? It's like a deflated balloon. It just brings you back down. So we have these tragedies that we find in the news, including the shooting that just took place within the past couple hours in Mississippi, where 8 people were killed as well. So we have these tragedies that happen on the outside, and we can have a downward, inward perspective. Then we can also be struggling with the things in our own life. Add to that the pressures that we're experiencing. Maybe it's going through puberty and all that comes with that. Maybe it's struggling with a long-term illness that we have had or someone that we know has had. Maybe there's a family crisis or situation. Maybe there's some self-doubt. Maybe there's some fear. Maybe there's some misbeliefs that have grabbed a hold of us and it's weighing us down. Maybe sometimes it's just the fact that life gets so busy and we're so tired, we're so exhausted. Add to that, then the appliances start breaking in the house. And pretty soon, the focus is just down here, downward, inward. We just want to curl up in a ball in our beds and take a nice, long 3-day nap. We can have this downward, inward perspective. And that can be a struggle for us. Paul, when he speaks to the Ephesians, is giving words that have an upward and outward perspective. That's the reading that I want to look at today from Ephesians. And we see that Paul alludes to the resurrected and ascended Lord. And I want you to listen. I'm going to read a large portion of it again. But think about this passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and following. Paul speaks and he says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all." Whoa, that's some great stuff. Especially when we have a downward and inward perspective. We hear those words, and there's some amazing words that I want to focus on today. And the words are hope. There's that word hope that he speaks of. There's also the word inheritance that he mentions. And then there's the word power. So we have hope, inheritance, and power. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about the ascended Lord. Notice what Paul says in there. He speaks of the one about God's power, who worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and then seated him, I love this, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Well, we're speaking of the ascended Lord. The ascended Lord. In the second article of the Apostles' Creed, which we will speak later, it says this: the third day, speaking of Jesus, the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. For a moment, we go back to our other readings of Scripture. Notice how they tie all together. It's pretty cool. Acts chapter 1 says about the disciples, as they were looking on, he, that is Jesus, was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Luke 24, verse 50, Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. So we have these words about the ascension. And as I talked with the kids, or talked to them about the balloon, ascension is kind of a fancy word for going up or rising. Think of the movie Up that you've seen, and you see the rising up. But the question is, where is Jesus now? If you keep going up and up and up, you're going to end up in outer space. And then, you know, who knows from there. But I want to submit to you that Jesus is ascended, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's floating out somewhere near Pluto. You know, we think of up in a certain geographical location. But rather, Jesus is there in the presence of God the Father. He's there, ascended. And yet it's almost like it's in a different dimension. Because remember what Jesus says? He says, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." So somehow Jesus is there in the glories of the heavenly throne room, and yet he's not limited to space and time as we are. And Shiloh and I have had some great conversations about, you know, string theory and other amazing scientific ideas about multiverses and stuff like that. But basically, our God is not limited in the sphere, in the fishbowl of time and space that we are. But the ascended Lord is at the right hand of the Father. And what does that mean? Does that mean you have this big throne with this old man with this huge gray beard and Jesus sitting at the right of him? No. No. Whatever you've seen in the movies, no. No. God, the right hand of God the Father, is a place of authority, a place of power. And Jesus, the resurrected Lord, now has all power, all authority, the name above every name. So with this in mind, with this amazing image of Jesus now in the throne room of heaven, with all power, all authority, think about these words then that Paul brings up. These words of hope, this word of inheritance, and the word of power. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to what he has called you. You know what happens when you don't have hope? You give up. Without hope, the world seems like a dark and horrible place. And yet we have hope because of our crucified and risen Lord, who sacrificed himself for all of your sins, who's been raised from the dead, who's now ascended. He's there, reigning upon the throne. And because of that, we have hope. And remember what happened when Jesus, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave the disciples a promise. He gave the disciples the promise of the Holy Spirit. The bunch of scared disciples who fled in the Garden of Gethsemane, these bold disciples, empowered by the gift of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, would then go off and preach boldly the message of the gospel, sharing the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That'll be next week at Pentecost that we talk about the giving of the Holy Spirit. But for now, we have hope in Christ, even in difficult situations. It's one thing to feel hopeful and happy when you're at Disneyland. It's a whole nother thing when you're in the ER. The other day, I was visiting someone at the ER, and I was there in the waiting room of the ER looking for the person that I was seeking to visit, and along the way, I saw other people there, some in various states of pain and difficulty, and there was this one lady named Lisa who was there. I remember Lisa, and I was walking by, and when I go to the hospital in the ER, I often wear my clerical, my uniform, and it really gives me access to places. And I was there, and she recognized this, and as I passed by, she said, "Go, Jesus!" And it just caught me, and I had to talk to her. I said, "Hey, how are you? What's your name?" And, you know, it's been a struggle for her. She was there sitting in the wheelchair. I don't know what the malady was, but I said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "You know, I'm hanging in there." And then she shared with me this, and I just thought this was so neat. She said, "You know, in the midst of all these, the pain and the struggle that I have a book of joy." I think what she meant, though, is she's kept a record, some kind of journal of moments of joy that the Lord has given to her. And I just thought this was an incredible attitude there at the ER. And later on, as I was sitting with the person I was visiting, I saw her being wheeled in to the ER proper. And there was just something about her, a joy, a peace that she had, that I think will spread as she's there at the ER. This woman named Lisa had hope. She wasn't at Disneyland. She was at the ER, but she had hope because she knows her Savior Jesus. She knows the one who is risen from the dead. She knows the one who's reigning upon the throne. He knows her difficulties. He knows her circumstances, just as he knows every circumstance in the pews and every circumstance that I and anybody else is dealing with. He knows about that. Our God is omniscient. What does that mean? All-knowing. And he's there reigning upon the throne. So because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which points us to Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior, we have hope even in seemingly hopeless situations. That's awesome. So that's the first word. We have hope because our ascended Lord is reigning and risen. Another word is the word inheritance. Oh, what a great word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 also says this, "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." Now, if somebody told you that you were going to get an inheritance, I think your ears might perk up a little bit. Ooh, an inheritance. What kind of inheritance would you like? I'm sure we could talk about that, and I imagine I could hear all kinds of different answers. The other day, I was listening to an interview between Warren Buffett and an interviewer. I don't know who it was. Warren Buffett, I think we know Warren Buffett. He's one of the richer guys in the United States, probably in the world. He's worth $74.1 billion. Wow! This is Warren Buffett talking. And the commentator asked Warren Buffett and said, "Okay, Warren, aside from your family, what do you consider to be the most valuable thing in the world?" And Warren Buffett thought about it and he said, "Time." Because not even Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in America, can buy time. Neither can you. Neither can I. What I find amazing is that you and I have an inheritance of eternal life. If you could put a price tag on each minute of your life, I don't know what that would look like for you. But you have been given eternal life. That is incomprehensible. We cannot fathom eternity. But this is what you have because of Jesus Christ. There will come a time in your life when you will be with the Lord for eternity. That is forever. Now, let me say this. Just because you have a lot of time doesn't make it a good thing, correct? Imagine that you're, well, I don't need to imagine. I've been there at care homes, and I have seen people at care homes who are probably in their late 40s or early 50s, and they've gone through a stroke, something that has affected their health, and they're now there in the care home potentially for another 30 years of their life. In that case, would you say that 30 years was a good thing? Ooh, boy, that would be tough to be 30 years in a wheelchair or in your bed. The beautiful thing about eternal life, though, is it's not only the quantity of life, which is eternal, but also the quality of life. We're talking about an eternity with Jesus. We're talking about eternity as Revelation 21, he says, these words are spoken, it says of Jesus, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Can you imagine an eternity with perfect health, perfect days. You know, we have these wonderful days that we're now experiencing in Oregon. They're beautiful. But imagine your most beautiful and ideal day that you've ever had, the best day of your life. And imagine that, and even better, for all of eternity. That's the inheritance that you have. Because Jesus, your crucified and risen Savior, is now reigning on the throne. And you also will be there with him in paradise forever. Whoa! So even now, as you go through this life, whatever struggles you're going through, remember this, that you have this inheritance because of Jesus. You have hope because of Jesus. You have this inheritance because of Jesus. And as you go through the struggles of this life, remember that you do not go alone, but rather you have the power of the Lord at work in your life. That's the third word, the word power. And what power? Oh my goodness. Ephesians chapter 1:19 says, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might?" And that's the key, his great might. What do you think of when you think of power? I'm sure all kinds of images could come to your mind. The other day I was over there by the Independence River Park, and they have the farmer's market there. And as I was getting there trying to find a parking spot, this whole herd, or whatever you use the collective for motorcycles, this whole group of motorcycle riders came rumbling by. Not just one, not just 10, not just 20, but there were over 100. And it just shook the ground. And these tough-looking people on their motorcycles are riding by. It was amazing. I wish I could have joined them, but I don't have a Harley, so I can't do that. But there was power in that group. Think of your favorite sports car. Think of, you know, the Dodge Charger SRT Hellcat with 707 horsepower. Fill in the blank with whatever. Think of the strongest linebacker you could ever imagine. Fill in your blank with images of power. This pales in comparison to the power that your Savior Jesus has. Doesn't even come close to the power that Jesus has. The words in Greek that are used there in that passage, one of the words is megathos. Great, mega, we think of, and this is surpassing greatness, surpassing power. And guess what? This belongs to your Savior Jesus. Not some impersonal deity out there, but your Lord and Savior Jesus. This is the one, this is the person who's reigning upon the throne. I got to make this comment about Jesus when he disappears behind the cloud. Remember, the disciples are there, they're watching Jesus, and it says that he ascended and then disappeared behind the cloud. There's something neat and significant about this, I think, which points to the majesty and power of God. Where do we hear about clouds in the scriptures? There are a couple places. One of those places is back in the Exodus. Remember, the Lord, the mighty Lord, is the one who brought a whole nation to its knees with the plagues. And this is the Lord who led his people of Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Then we get to Jesus' transfiguration, where he's on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. And it says that a cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Guess who's getting the authority? Jesus. And then it says that Jesus, he ascended and a cloud enveloped him, and then they saw him no more. The same God of the Old Testament is the one who is now reigning on the throne in the person of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. This is amazing. So we have this Lord who reigns upon the throne, whose name is above every other name. What is the most powerful name you can think of? I don't know, Putin, Trump, Kim Jong-un. Maybe we don't necessarily think of them as horribly powerful. I don't know, but these are powerful figures. And in Paul's day, there was the Emperor Nero, and you don't mess with Nero. Or Caligula, or fill in the blank with all kinds of rulers who had lots of power at the snap of their finger sent people off to their deaths. But no name can compare to the name above every name, which is Jesus Christ, your Savior. And as Philippians 2 says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." So who is ruling? Jesus. And who's at the head not only of this world, but also the church? Jesus. Maybe at times as a believer you grow discouraged. Maybe you see churches and they seem to be fading and failing. But guess what? The Lord knows about all of the situations in the world. He is, as we say in the scriptures, the head of the body, which is his church. Jesus knows. He's in control. He's not concerned about it, even though we get all stressed about it. There are times when we don't understand why God does what he does, but we can trust, if he's the one who's reigning on the throne of heaven, we can trust him that he's going to take care of every detail. We just join him on the mission that he has for us. There's that tapestry illustration that maybe you've heard before. Those of you that are quilters know about this very much. When you look at the bottom side of a quilt, it can look like quite a mess with a lot of different threads that pass in seemingly random directions. It's just a horrible mess from that side. But then what happens when you look at the other side of the quilt? Then when you look at the other side of the quilt, you see all the beautiful patterns which are put together in a specific way. From our perspective down here in our bubble, which we call life, in time and space, we see things as a mess sometimes. But from the perspective of the ascended Lord, everything is falling in place. Every little square of the quilt is being put together in just the right space at just the right time. Can we trust him? Yes, we can. Remember this as you go forward today and the rest of the week, that you have your ascended Lord who gives you hope, who gives you an inheritance, and who has all the power in the world, and he then gives you the Holy Spirit to remind you of these things and empowers you with the Holy Spirit, who in your weakness is used by the Lord because of his power and his strength. As we look and think upon our ascended Lord, may we have an upward and an outward perspective, being bold to proclaim this message of the hope and the inheritance and the power of the ascended Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.